them referred to as the children of Israel many times, but here he's referring them to them as his children. And of course, we'll be able to make a lot of parallels from this tonight. So in chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, verse 1, God says to them, "Ye are the children of the Lord, your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." So our title tonight is Children of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, how we are blessed to be your children. And I pray we would learn even more tonight as we look back to this beautiful declaration about your children Israel. That may we learn some things tonight and just be that much more grateful for what we have through Christ our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, you're the children of the Lord. He reminds them in this verse not to get involved in some of the common practices of the heathen that surrounded them. But for us as Christians, when we trust Christ as Savior, we also are adopted into God's family and become His children. Now, this is not something that we can produce, is it? It's not something that we can make happen. It's something that God does, something that God declares. It's a miracle that God works. And when we trust Christ, let's go to Galatians 3:26. God adopts us into His family, and we become the children of the Lord. And how blessed are we to have a new father. Amen. Jesus told the Pharisees when he came to earth, "Ye are of your father, the devil," there in John 8:44. But we become the children of God. Notice Galatians 3:26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Look at Ephesians 1, if you would, quickly, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, and that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." We also are children of the Lord. And praise God for that. 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." So as children of God, we have a new father, but we also, as we're adopted into his family, we even become heirs. We talked about this in Potato this afternoon, but if you go to Romans 8, verse 14, this is an amazing truth that as children of God, we inherit what Christ inherits, because we become joint heirs, which is absolutely amazing. Israel, of course, inherited the promised land. They will inherit their kingdom, which we become part of. You and I inherit all the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Romans 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." That's us. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So notice in verse 14, he says we are the sons of God. Here he says we are the children of God. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God," look at this next phrase, "and joint heirs with Christ." Praise the Lord. We become joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says we have an inheritance, 1 Peter 1, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, 1 Peter 1, 4, reserved in heaven, because we also are the children of God. Now, one thing that's different between us and Israel is when we became children of God, we actually got a new nature. This was not true for Israel. Theirs was a family declaration, if you will. Ours is a miraculous thing that happens at salvation. Let's see this in 2 Peter 1 or 1 Peter 2 Peter 1:4, we actually get a new nature because we become a new creature. This was not true for Israel, but it's true for us. We are put into the body of Christ. Amen. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We become partakers of the divine nature when God adopts us into his family and we become the children of the Lord. Praise God. While you're in Peter, look at 1 Peter 1 again, just back one book, verse 14. God also said to Israel in verse 2, for thou art an holy people. Now, in that sense, he's primarily talking about sanctification, setting apart as holy. But for you and me, not only does God want us to sanctify, but he wants us to truly live a holy life. 1 Peter 1:14, he says, as obedient children. So we're the children of God, but God's desire for us, we still have a free will, is that we will be obedient children. And notice verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. God says, because I'm holy, and you're now my children, you're now part of my family, I want you to emulate your father. I want you to live a holy life. There he is talking literally about living a clean, righteous life. Yes, we're sanctified, and Israel was sanctified, but you and I now are to live a holy life. Now, most of you know Romans 12:1, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. Holy. I want you to present yourself to God. You are now his. You are giving yourself up to him, right? Living sacrifice, holy. Just a little four-letter word in there, but it's a big word, isn't it? I want you to be holy. And as he said here, I want you to be separate. You're my children. I want you to be different from all those nations around you. I don't want you to get into their heathen practices. I want you to avoid them. We as Christians are told to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So just as God said to his children Israel, first time here in Deuteronomy, I want you to be holy. He wants the same from us. So let's go back there, Deuteronomy 14. He says to the children of Israel, you're now children of the Lord, verse 1. You're an holy people. And look what he goes on to say. The Lord hath chosen thee. We've seen this over and over again, haven't we? God has said to Israel over and over, you are part of me now. You're part of my family, not because of who you are, not because you're special, because of who I am, and I chose you. I made a decision with Abraham to start something new, to start a new nation. You're my people. But you're not my people because you're better than other nations or you're more righteous. We've already seen how many times God has had to rebuke them for their disobedience. You're my people because I'm declaring it so. And I want you to understand that I chose you. You did not choose me. But is it not the same for us? The Bible says in 1 John 4, we love him because he first, what? Loved us. We love God because he saved us, amen? But he loved us first. Just look at Calvary. And we are also, if you want to look at 1 Peter 2:9, we are also a chosen people. Now, this is not teaching predestination, as the Calvinists try to put forward. But remember, in God's program, time doesn't mean anything. To God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. Time is everything to us. To God, time is nothing. And so God is teaching us that we are chosen when we decide to trust Christ. Did God know in advance who that would be? Of course he did. God knows everything. But we have to be careful. You know, the Calvinists want to teach, but God forces it to be so. And that's when you step over a line, isn't it? That's when man loses his free will and God just says, well, I choose you. and I don't choose you, therefore you get to be saved and you don't. It's not how it works in God's program, is it? But 1 Peter 2:9, ye are a chosen generation. Amen. Amen. He goes on to say, a royal priesthood and holy nation. That's us. We're to be a holy nation. Amen. We are a chosen generation. And the last thing he said to Israel here in Deuteronomy 14, he says, I want you to be a peculiar people. Well, here in 1 Peter 2:9, what does he say? A peculiar people, the exact same phrase that he says to Israel. You are the children of the Lord. You're a holy people. You're chosen. And I want you to be a peculiar people. What does that mean, peculiar? Well, look at Psalm 135. God wanted Israel to be different from all the other nations. God wanted them to be a declaration of what happens when a nation makes God their God. And he wanted the other nations to see, wow, look how he blesses this nation who has these different laws than everyone else, who believe in righteousness, who believe that the God of the universe is only one and that he's holy. He wanted Israel to be that display of how God blesses a nation whose God is the Lord. Now, Psalm 135:4, it says, for the Lord had chosen, there's that word chosen again, Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. His peculiar treasure. And over we've seen here in Leviticus, in Numbers, Deuteronomy, I want you to be a testimony to the nations around you of what happens when you make me your God and you obey me. Now, that's not what happened in a practical level, is it? Instead, they were a testimony of what happens when they disobey their God, and then God had to punish them. And we don't want that to be true for us, do we? No, we want to be a peculiar people. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Well, we already are peculiar people, but God wants us to act like peculiar people. Titus chapter 2, talking about the return of Jesus Christ here. Verse 13, we're told to look for the blessed hope. Amen. The glorious appearing, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, Titus 2, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's us. Passages like this just make us that more thankful for adoption. And God made a decision at Calvary that he would pay the price for sin. And that those who trusted in that payment, he would adopt them into his family. Right? John chapter 1 verse 11. He came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The day that we got saved, we became God's children. Before we were saved, we were the devil's children. Now we're in his family. So the world can't say that the God of the Bible is their father, can they? Now they try. They try to say by virtue of the fact that they were born as a human that God is their father, but he's not. God's not your father until he adopts you into his family. And that happens at salvation, as we saw in Romans 8 and Galatians chapter 3 and other places. So God is teaching us through Israel about this beautiful doctrine of adoption. And he says to Israel, you are the children of the Lord, your God. You're the children of Jehovah. Not because of what you've done, not because of who you are, but because I chose you. I chose you centuries before. Through Abraham, I chose to start something new. I chose you. And now I want you to be my holy people. Amen. I want you to be my peculiar people. I want you to be a testimony to those around you. I want you to be holy as I am holy. And so God says the same to you and me. We've been adopted into God's family. We're now God's child. And he wants us to be obedient. Children, 1 Peter 1:14. He wants us to be holy children. He wants us to be a peculiar people, so that we might be that same thing. Look at Matthew 5:16, that we might be a testimony to those around us. Now, this isn't talking about lifestyle evangelism, but it is saying that God wants His children to be a reflection of Him. Well, God is holy. He wants us to show the world, our God is holy. So I'm doing my best to live holy. Now, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men, amen, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This was God's goal for Israel. They failed. It's God's goal for us, that we would let our light so shine that people would see our good works and glorify our Father. How do they know that God's our Father? We're talking tonight about adoption. Because we tell them so. Amen? God is my Heavenly Father because I'm a Christian, because I'm a born-again believer, and God adopted me into His family. People aren't just going to randomly see you doing good works and say, oh, the God of the Bible must be your Father. No, it's because we say something. We tell them. Israel's job was to do the same, to say the reason why we're different, the reason why we follow these laws, the reason why we try to live a holy life is because the God of the universe is our God. And He's the only God. Remember, all the nations around them believed in multiple gods. And as we saw in verse 1, practiced all kinds of heathen things to try to appease these multiple gods. All these gods were angry. Many of them were wicked. Israel was meant to stand for something different. That there's only one God. That He's holy. That He is a judge. He will judge unrighteousness. And then the only way you can avoid that judgment is through Him, by trusting and believing in Him. It hasn't changed. And it's the same for you and me. Aren't you thankful that you're a child of God? Hallelujah. And all the benefits that brings, joint heirs. Imagine that. Joint heirs with none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see there in Romans chapter 8. Chosen, peculiar, holy. This is what God wants from us as the children of the Lord. So God says, now you know what I want you to do? I want you to act like my children. Amen? Be that peculiar. Be holy. Number one, be obedient. Obedient children. Children of the Lord, let's pray. Lord, we love You so much. Can't thank You enough for adopting us into Your family, giving us eternal life, giving us a new nature, giving us the indwelling Holy Spirit, giving us an inheritance in heaven. We cannot thank You enough for these things, Lord. May we, as You desired of Israel, be that testimony of what happens when someone trusts You. May we be that holy, peculiar example to those around us and tell them the good news that they can also have You as their Father if they will but trust You. And then You'll work the same miracle in their lives. Thank You so much. We love You in Jesus.